Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it is every time we assemble ourselves together. Just never ceases to amaze me the blessings of being in the presence of the Lord and how that we can sense that when we come into our church services here. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. If you would turn there with me. On Wednesday nights, we'll be going through and studying the life of John the Baptist. And it has been a very practical, very helpful study. I trust that you have really enjoyed it, that you've learned from that. And John is just more of a testimony for the New Testament Christianity than you'll find even in the book of Acts. That early church, as they were trying to get all the things together, and there was a lot of things going on in the early church during the apostolic age that was different than we have after the last of the apostles, because after the last of the apostles, then we had the completion of the Word of God, which meant that when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part can be done away with. There's no more need for speaking in tongues, no more need for the signs and wonders. It's all by faith. Well, John never spoke in tongues, and John did not one time use signs and wonders. All John did was preach the Word of God. And he did it with the authority of God, and they flocked to hear John preach, you know, and he was baptizing. He was baptizing. Now, his baptism was that of repentance, which is different than after Christ came. Then salvation is what we look to, and then a baptism afterwards to be a identify with what Christ did for us to bring us salvation. But John's testimony and everything that he did is we can relate to that. And there's so much there. And Jesus, while we studied what Jesus said about John, and through it all, it's just been a very helpful, I trust, a very helpful. But we're coming to study here, but we're coming to the end of it. John, we've already studied that Herod had placed John in prison. And John being in prison with all the things taking place, we find that John faces doubt, possibly for the very first time in his life, his first time ever had any question about that, John's faith in the Scriptures. But so we looked at the reasons for doubt. The Bible gives us a lot of things concerning the reasons that we might face doubt. And then last Wednesday night, we looked at what to do when we're facing doubt. What to do. Well, and the three things was address them. You can't just ignore them. You don't block it out. God would not have us to live with doubt in our lives. And so when we're facing doubt, you have to address it. Get a hold of it. There is victory over doubt, if you will. And so we looked at that. John addressed it. And then take them to the Lord. You can't take your doubt into any better person than the Lord Jesus Christ. And John took it to him. He wanted him to know, I'm doubting, you know, should we look for another or not? Now, I think John in his mind, he already knew that he was the one. We already studied that. But he took it to the Lord. And we looked at last week, and doing that, it was saying, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, I know it. Right now I'm facing doubt. I'm bringing it to you. I want you to strengthen me to help me to overcome this doubt. Basically what John was doing. And then Jesus told John what to do. He pretty much told his disciples to go tell John what you see and hear. He was telling John, John, know what you know. Know what you know. And if you just know what you know, the doubt will go away. You'll overcome the doubt. And so now tonight, same passage of Scripture, but we're adding the last verse to it. We've studied all up to verse 5. But now we're going to look at verse 6. And so Matthew chapter 11, stand with me. We'll read verse 1 down to verse 6. But verse 6 is the very next event, the very next thing that we're going to look to in the study of John the Baptist. And so Matthew chapter 6. Now, the next lesson we'll be getting into, it'll be a few weeks away because we have a lot of things going on the next couple of weeks on Wednesday night. But we're getting to that place where John is actually going to be beheaded. And there's still some very powerful, practical lessons to learn from the life of John the Baptist. And but tonight we find here what again, the last lesson on this passage of Scripture. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again. Again, John already knew it. He'd already witnessed it. Those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And blessed is he. Now he says, you need to make sure you tell John this. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for opportunities that you make available to us just to draw closer to you. And Lord, tonight as we've assembled here, it's already been a blessing. We've already received a blessing in being in the services, just being able to sing together, being able to be an encouragement one to another just by our presence here on this midweek service. But now as we open up the precious Word of God, especially as we study this life of John the Baptist, I pray that you would open up our minds to understanding and our hearts to application. I just pray, God, that each one here would receive what they have need of tonight to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 6 is a message to anyone who would stumble over what God allows or what God might bring into our lives. This is a message for anyone who would have doubt, anyone who would stumble in their faith and stumble in their walk with God because of something that's happened to you, something that you've had to face, something that you've had to deal with, whether it was something that God allowed, because nothing happens without God allowing it. God oversees the universe. God oversees all things. God is omniscient. He knows it all. He's sovereign. He's in control of it all. No doubt about it. So whatever has happened in your life from the very beginning of your life to the place you're at tonight, God has been aware of everything that He has allowed to come into your life. And then the other side of that is that God does, from time to time, bring things into our lives. He brings trials into our lives. He brings judgment into our lives. He brings things into our life only to use them to help draw us closer to Him. So now, some of the things that come into our lives, again, are brought on by ourselves. Our sin. If we commit sin, you're going to bring judgment of God down upon your life. You're going to bring the results of sin to your life. A failure to do what God wants you to do, then things are going to take place in your life. God does not bring them into your life. God allows them to come into your life because He has to allow man to sin, and no man sins unto themselves. And so sometimes we're affected by other people's sins, and then we're definitely affected by our own sins. So all these things come into our life. But when these things happen to our in our lives, we look back over our lives, if we have stumbled in our faith. Doubting God is stumbling in your faith. Getting out of church is stumbling in your faith. Turning away from the Bible, not reading your Bible, not praying, not seeking a closer walk with God is stumbling in your faith. And so this message that Jesus presents to John and has recorded for you and I to learn from it as well, it's a message to anyone who would stumble over these things, what God allows or what God might bring into our lives. We're stumbling if our response is to complain or act as if it's just not fair. Have you ever seen somebody's body language when you've told them something and you can tell they're thinking, that's not fair? Now, children will just come out and say it. And you can see it in their facial expressions and their body language. But sometimes adults, they won't come out and say it, but you can tell it in their body language. And they're really complaining or just thinking, God, why is it that all I was doing was preaching the Word of God, I was faithful to serving You, and You allowed Herod to put me in jail? And now I've been rotting in this jail for some time now, and Herod has been enjoying the palace. He's been enjoying all the wealth of this earth. He hasn't been suffering. I think John was somewhat failing in his faith. We've seen that. And even though Jesus is not really rebuking John, he is trying to help John to realize what's going on in his life. That he had it under control. But I can see why John might have had some body language. Or why John might have been thinking, this is not fair. Or I should be out there side by side with the Lord and doing the work, as John might have pictured himself. He told his disciples, no, Jesus is on the scene now. Behold the Lamb of God, follow him. And I believe John wanted to be a forerunner in following Christ and serving right alongside of him. But that was not the will of God. That was not what this New Testament church age needed. If believers viewed God's commands with only current circumstances, truth of it is, every one of us would be complaining. This blessing, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me, is possibly another one of the another beatitude. Or it could be the one connected to the last of the beatitudes. Go back there with me, Matthew chapter 5. Because the beatitudes is what Jesus had taught on the Sermon on the Mount. These are some of the things that he told his disciples. This is what I want you to do. This is how you're to live your life. And if all we had to look at were the circumstances of this life and what we had to gain through living this way in this life, we might be complaining. The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. The blessing of that is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But if you went looking to the kingdom of heaven and you thought, blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, the meek, those that are not living for themselves, the proud, the worldly minded, let's get to where we're wanting to go no matter who we have to step on to get there. And you would look around, you would see all of that kind of mentality of humanity prospering, and here we are poor in spirit and we are struggling to get by. If you didn't have the eternal things to look to, the kingdom of heaven might be complaining if how I'm supposed to live my life here is poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn. I've got to live a life of sorrow over sin. Well, if you didn't have shall be comforted, and you've seen others not mourning, you've seen others that are not sorrow for other, for the sins of our society. You've seen those that are living and promoting homosexuality. You find those that are living in our day, in our community today, in our society today, and promoting fornication, promoting living however you want to live and do whatever you want to do, whatever feels good, do it. If we had to live a life that he tells us to live without nothing to look forward to but what's in this life, you might be complaining. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, the yielded to God. Well, if you didn't understand the blessings that are in the future blessings of that, we might not think, well, I don't know that I need to be meek. Of course, we're living in the survival of the fittest age, right? If I'm big enough, I'm going to take whatever I want from those littler than me. That's how kids do it. Unless they got a big brother, and then you had... I'm saying that if we had to live the way of the blessings, the beatitude, without the extended blessing to that, without the understanding of what's to come, we might be complaining. We might think it's not fair. Why do I have to live like that if this is all there is to live for? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, those who truly desire it are going to be blessed by it, but if I didn't have that promise, I don't know that I would really want to live a righteous life. Now, truth of it is, a righteous life lived in this world is going to be far greater and have greater blessings than an unrighteous life in this flesh. But what you're seeing what I'm saying here, without looking ahead, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Take away that they shall obtain mercy. Is it really a blessing to be merciful? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Take away the for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which... Now this, I believe, could be along the very same blessing, the beatitude. And if we're going to connect it to what Jesus already taught, this would be it, verse 11 and 12, when he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely," look right here, "for my sake." If you live for Christ, you're going to have that take place in this life. Don't be offended in that. Don't let that cause you to turn from serving God. But he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Why? "For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You're not the only generation that has suffered persecution. They have been persecuted, those that have stood for my name, since the very beginning. Abel, persecuted by his own brother and killed. Somewhat like John the Baptist. I don't know that he cut his head off, but we don't know he didn't. So now with that in mind, go back, and this is relating to, or it could just be another beatitude here, an attitude that believers are supposed to live by in Christ. "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Blessed. Even if you can't see the blessing now, know it'll come. Know that you're blessed. Go back and tell John, even though you can't see the blessing now, John, a lot of things are clouding your mind right now. We already talked about that as far as a reason for the doubt. No matter what happens, John, know that you're blessed. If you stand for me, if you live the way I want you to live, if you respond as I would have you to respond to whatever you're dealing with in this life, if you're following me, know this. You're blessed, whether you realize it or not. Whether you can sense it, whether you feel it financially, whether you feel it health-wise, physically, whether you feel it, know this. You're blessed. I believe John needed that, but I think that all of us need that. It's like putting a cast on a broken bone. I don't know. The only bone I've ever broken outside of maybe some cracked fingers and toes, maybe, I don't know. But the only bone that I've had broken that I had to have a cast put on was a collarbone. And I had to have a chest cast put on. And I didn't really want it on because if you have it on, you can't do anything. And I'm thinking, I got to put this cast on. I was complaining that I had to wear a cast. If you broke your leg, you might complain, I got to wear a cast. I can't use my leg if I have to have a cast on it. Did you forget it was broken? Sometimes we forget the reason for the cast is the bone is broken. And you put a cast on to keep it immobile so that it will heal. And so when you put the cast on in your mind, instead of complaining about the cast, look forward to when the cast has done its job and now it's off. I've got a healed bone. I can use my arm or my leg or whatever I need to do. Normally, it's healed. But if it weren't for the cast that I had to put on because I had a broken bone, wouldn't have been healed. So instead of complaining about the cast that you had to put on, look ahead to when it's done its job and the bone is healed and it's time to take the cast off. Now you can start using it again. Christ's doctrine for believers, how God has commanded us to live our lives on this earth outside of the blessings that are associated in heaven. If we didn't have that, we'd all possibly be complaining about being in church on Wednesday night. Amen. About coming to church on Sunday, every Sunday. About tithing, when I could be using that money for a lot of other things. I could go on and on and on. If we did not have the future blessings associated with the life of Christ today. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is not anything new. And Jesus experienced this with his own disciples. John chapter 6 and verse 60, after he explained some things about needing to follow him and drink of his blood and eat of his body. He was referring to the New Testament church when we would have to suffer for him and we would have communion and remembering that we're doing this because he first of all loved us and he suffered and died for us and we ought to be willing to suffer persecution for him. Well, they didn't understand all that. In verse 60 in John chapter 6, it says this, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said," this is a hard saying, "who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, look right here, "Does this offend you?" Are you getting the picture of offending? Are you getting the picture now that he sent back to John? These are the blessings associated with those who will not be offended in me. Who will not stop following me because of persecution. Stop following me because of the desires and the lusts of the flesh. You're blessed if you are not offended in me. Even though you might not be able to see it right now, John. You're blessed. He goes on, he says, "What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. It is a spirit that quickeneth." He said, you got to look ahead. You have to look at the spiritual side of things. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh is never going to lead you to do anything spiritually for God. You'll never accomplish anything for Christ if you let the flesh dictate how you live and what you do. It's spiritual decisions. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak, Peter. Stop relying on the flesh to stay awake. Understand it's a spiritual battle. But there are some of you that believe not, For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Then he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were offended in him. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24. I want you to see what he's telling John, because he's written it down for you and I to learn from. We need to learn this. John chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profitable if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Blessed are they, even though you can't see it. Possibly you don't feel it. But you're going to stay faithful to God. I will not be offended in my Christianity. I will not turn away from my Lord. I will not stop doing what I know God wants me to do. I'll not stop living the way that Christianity ought to live. God says, if you have that, you're blessed. Because rewards will come. I believe in this life and especially in the life to come. So what are some of those? Well, one I think that very obvious is look to be a blessing to others. In this life, serve humanity. Well, I don't know that I like that. I want to be served. Well, that's not how Christ taught us to live. Matter of fact, that's not the example that he gave to us. What if he came to be served? He would not have went to Calvary's cross. And if he had not gone to Calvary's cross, we don't have any future to look forward to. Philippians in chapter 2. You know the verses, but I connect them. Philippians in chapter 2. This is how he says that Christianity ought to live. And he has given us the example of that. He came to show us what Christianity on this earth, especially during this New Testament church age, how we should live our lives. John the Baptist understood that. John was not living for himself. John was living to promote Christ. Philippians in chapter 2, verses 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, you're going to have the blessings of God even in this life. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't be putting yourself out there. Don't be putting yourself in front of everyone else as if being a very selfish individual. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's more important for me to be a blessing to you than for you to be a blessing to me. That's basically what it says. Christianity, don't be walking around thinking that everyone ought to be a blessing to you. Everything revolves around me. That's flesh. That's of the flesh. That's not what he says is blessed. But if you're going to live the way the Christian ought to live, it is saying, God, use me. God, if it's your will for me to go to the mission field and give up my homeland, to give up my family, God, what I want more than anything else is your will for my life. I am willing to give up whatever you want me to give up to be a blessing and to serve humanity as you want me to serve humanity. Wow. Somebody with that attitude, somebody with that mindset, blessed. Because you're not offended in Christ, you're wanting to follow after Christ. And you realize that this life is not about me. It's about me serving Him. And if you're serving Him, you're going to be a blessing to humanity, whether they accept it or not, whether they appreciate you or not. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth when you live that way. Verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Look to be a blessing. That might change everything. If we just understand that. Don't be offended in me. Look to be a blessing. Follow my footsteps. Do not seek revenge. If we didn't have the promises associated with that commandment on how to live, you mean I can't hit him back? You don't understand. He hit me. You ever had your children say that to you? She hit me first. He pulled my hair. Back and forth, back and forth. I did this because I'm responding to what he did to me. Well, I'm doing this because I'm responding to what she did to me. And it's back and forth and back and forth. What a miserable way to live your life. You know, there's been many in jail because all they were doing is seeking revenge. And ultimately, they might have got the revenge, but now they're sitting in a prison cell. And they've lost their opportunity to live in a free world. Is that really worth? I guarantee you talk to anybody that's in prison because they got mad at somebody for running them off the road and they pulled out a gun and shot that person. I'll show you. You can't do that to me. The rest of their life, they're in prison. Oh, that's how I want to live my life, just seeking revenge. God says, don't live that way. And vengeance is mine, I will repay. Matter of fact, be a blessing to that person. Now, I think most like the, right at the end of that, where we heap coals of fire upon their head by doing that, but that's really, come on now. Christian life. I can't hit him. Lord, come. Body language. Body language. It's just not fair. They're allowed to get by with that, and I can't go back and get him back. I can't hit him back. I got to live that way. You want God's blessings. If Christ had not have overcome on the cross, amen. He could have gotten revenge. He could have wiped them all out. He's the one that created the things. No, but he thought more about living as God would have me to live and be an example. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Which brings us to the next way that God would have us to live. Be willing to forgive. I'm not going to forgive that person. So you're offended. You're offended in Christ because he tells you to forgive. And if you don't forgive and do what he says to do, then you're offended because he's told you to forgive. Didn't look at it like that. That's exactly how you ought to look at it. Because if you have an unforgiving spirit, it will hinder you. It's a root of bitterness inside of a person. It'll destroy you much more than it will your hatred or your lack of forgiveness will destroy somebody else. Most of the time, they don't even know. They have not lost one minute of sleep over you not forgiving them, and you're ate up with it. Is that how you want to live? Is that blessed? Or wouldn't it be more of a blessing? Have a forgiving spirit. Amen. And not harbor any unforgiveness toward anybody. Luke chapter 17. Look there with me. Luke chapter 17. We're almost done here. That's what he's telling John. And in telling John, he's telling every one of us who might be stumbling in our Christian life and not even realizing it's because I'm offended that I'm supposed to live that way. Luke in chapter 17. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that all offenses will come. But woe unto him that through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. God's, first of all, telling you, no one's going to get by with wrongdoing. I'm going to deal with them. But he said, take heed to yourselves. You can't control anybody else, but the one person you can control, and the one person, the only person that you'll ever give an account to God for, is you. So he said, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, that's not fair. He doesn't deserve my forgiveness. The Bible didn't say anything about whether it deserved your forgiveness or not. It's how the Christian is supposed to live. It's how Christ lived. And for us to say, I'm not going to forgive anybody, it shows that you have been offended in your Christianity. And Jesus saying, John, don't let Satan get in that little crack. Don't let him get in. You're at the end of your life. I have a purpose and a plan for it. Don't harbor an unforgiving spirit. Wow. We rebuke wrong behavior. And forgiving, listen to me, is not necessarily forgetting. And forgiveness is not necessarily restoring to the same position. There's consequences to sin. And sometimes sin destroys the opportunity you had to serve in a certain position. And that restoration is not to restore to the very same position, but the idea there is a forgiving spirit is going to be a blessing to you. And it will, at some point, help somebody that truly is repentant to get back on the right track. Wow. For you to say, I will not forgive anyone over anything wrong. Rebuke wrong behavior. So when that repentance and that desire to be forgiven has been presented, don't be offended. And how Christ would have you to respond. And you forgive. Put it behind you and be willing to go forward. Praise the Lord. Lastly, and these are what the Christian life. Don't ever forget to praise God. Can I tell you that Satan gets so many victories in Christians' lives because they just fail to praise God. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians in chapter 4. There was never a time when Jesus was not praising the Father. And there should never be a time that you're not praising God, no matter what the circumstances of life. Whether you can't understand why God's allowed this to come into your life, or why you can't understand why God brought it into your life. Your understanding it is not what's most important. What's most important is your faith to know it. Is my faith to know it? God is a sovereign God. God is an almighty God. And God is working His will in my life. And whatever He brings into my life, or whatever He allows to come into my life, and no matter what, I am going to have faith to believe that God is in control. And no matter what is going on, whether I understand it or not, I am going to say, praise You, God. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just on the mountaintop experiences, but rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, I say, rejoice. Don't ever forget to praise God. Don't ever get so down in a trial and so down in distress and depression or oppression to where you fail to acknowledge He's worthy of all my praise and honor and glory. John, know that God has a plan and a purpose. John, live victoriously in your current circumstances. That's what he was telling him. Go back and tell John he's blessed. He's not offended in me. If you know that you're blessed, you can live victoriously in your current circumstances, because even in your current circumstances, you're aware of what's to come. Today, for 2,000 years, John has been enjoying heaven. 2,000 years. Been viewing this church age, seeing how people's been reading about him. For 2,000 years. Now seeing it very clearly how God had him to go through what he went through. He wrote down his life's testimony. And because of his life's testimony, it's impacted this entire church age. And he's been rejoicing in heaven over all that for 2,000 years. While Herod and Herodias have been tormented every day for 2,000 years. Who was blessed? John in prison, or Herod and Herodias in the palace? Knowing what we know today, 2,000 years later, who would you want to be? Even though you're knowing you're getting ready to have your head cut off, but that's just going to release your eternal spirit to enjoy heaven for the rest of eternity. Or would you rather go ahead and seek revenge and be unforgiving spirit and live as though you're living of the flesh and live as though everybody's here to bless you and live all this the way that the world wants you to live and miss out on everything that God has prepared for you? Blessed is he that is not offended and living the way I want you to live. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Life of John the Baptist. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. John needed that. And as we study when John's beheaded, I believe John's singing Amazing Grace. I believe John is praising God after his disciples come back and tell him what Jesus told him. I believe that he went to the gallows or however it was used to cut off. He went there praising God and wanted to go out as a Christian, as somebody living a Christ-like life. Blessed. Blessed. Now is the invitation. I don't always give a musical invitation, but there's an invitation going on right now. If God spoke to you tonight, if you'd have need to come for whatever reason, you find yourself offended, or are you just committed to living the Christian life the way God wants us to live it? If you're committed to living it that way and you do, blessed. There's blessings. Not only now, and a peace, and a joy, but for an eternity. Anyone else? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for the life of John the Baptist and the lessons that we have learned through this study so far. Pray that you just continue to work through it, continue to draw us closer to you through a greater knowledge of the Word of God. Now, prepare our hearts as we look forward to this weekend and what you have for us on Sunday. And as we get ready to dismiss now, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.